Welcome to the Talking Treadmills podcast for besttreadmillsonline.com. My name is Travis Van Sloten, and today's episode is part two of the three-part treadmill buying guide series. In part one of the series, we determined what you'll need to spend on a treadmill based on your needs. We learned that you should plan to spend at least $1,000 for a quality home treadmill, and that you probably won't need to spend more than $2,000. At least most people won't need to. The specific price point you'll need to budget for was determined by the specific needs you have in a treadmill, which we uncovered through a series of questions. If you haven't listened to part one of this series yet, I encourage you to do so, as it will definitely help you determine a realistic budget for your new home treadmill. But today is about the important components of the treadmill, and that's what we'll be focusing on. By having a basic understanding of the main components of a treadmill, it will make shopping and comparing treadmills much easier. By knowing the main components and by knowing what to look for in those components, you'll be able to find a quality machine without spending a fortune, and as I mentioned, it'll just make comparing treadmills that much easier. So let's delve into these components. Again, these are the main components, so certainly not every component, but these are the main components that you'll want to become familiar with. The first is the walking belt or the tread belt of the machine. This is the part that, you know, rolls around the treadmill that you actually walk or run on. And the belt should be at least 18 inches wide and about 50 to 52 inches long if you are primarily going to be walking. If you're a jogger or a runner, you're going to want a belt that's about 20 inches wide and at least 54 inches long. And if you're a tall person or if you have long running strides, you'll want a belt that's at least 58 inches long. The other thing you'll want to take note of when it comes to the tread belt is the construction of the belt itself. Now, thick belts are all the rage today, but they aren't necessarily better. Overly thick belts retain more heat and require more energy and can cause more wear on components over the long run. So you don't necessarily need these extravagant thick belts that are being pushed on some of these models today. But you'll want to look for a minimum 2-ply tread belt. So when you're shopping around for treadmills, just make sure it's at least a 2-ply belt. But you really don't need, you know, anything beyond that. Because like I said, it can actually cause more wear on the components over the long run. And another important note about the belt. You know, the key to a long-lasting treadmill is regular cleaning. And you should clean your tread belt regularly. The dust and dirt and hair that can collect on the belt and the rollers can wreak havoc over the long run. So always use a treadmill mat and be sure to vacuum underneath your treadmill regularly and wipe down that belt and the machine itself periodically. Moving on to another important component, the belt rollers. Now, this is the part of the treadmill that actually moves the belt. These are the rollers that the belt moves around, and this is a critical part of the treadmill because next to the motor, it does most of the work. Now, when it comes to rollers, bigger is better. The bigger the rollers are, the less work they'll need to do because the less spinning or the fewer revolutions the rollers will have to do while it's working. So you'll want to look for rollers that are at least 2 inches in diameter, and some of the better machines out there will have 3-inch diameter rollers. The other important component of the treadmill, probably the most important component, is the motor. Now, a lot of companies list the peak horsepower of the motor as a selling point of their product. I want you to ignore that number. What you want to look for is the continuous duty horsepower. The peak horsepower is the most horsepower the motor is capable of reaching, while the continuous duty horsepower is the power during regular use. In other words, the continuous duty horsepower is the power that is delivered consistently over an extended period of time. The peak horsepower will always be higher than continuous duty horsepower since it is the motor's peak power and not the consistent power the motor provides over an extended period of time, which is, again, the continuous duty horsepower. By comparing the continuous duty horsepower of one treadmill to another, you can get a much better idea of which one is better suited to meet your exercise needs. Generally, the higher the continuous duty horsepower, the more power the motor will provide during your workout. Thus, if you plan to run a lot, or if you're a heavier person, you're going to want a higher continuous duty motor because you'll want more consistent power during your workouts. Whereas if you're just walking, you don't need as much power. Now, just an important note about continuous duty horsepower. There is no official standard for rating motors within the treadmill industry. Oftentimes, treadmill companies will exaggerate the actual continuous duty horsepower. But despite this drawback or downfall, comparing the continuous duty horsepower is still the best way to compare treadmill motors and will at least give you a general guideline of which one will be more capable of handling your type of workouts. The next component is the treadmill frame. Most people overlook the frame and focus on the inner workings of the machine itself. Well, this can be a mistake because the frame is obviously very important as it provides the stability that you're going to want during your workout. Now, the two most materials used in the frames are steel and aluminum. And steel is actually better because it has more give. And this means that running and walking will feel more natural. Both materials are good, but steel is better. You'll also want to look for a frame that weighs at least 190 to 200 pounds. The heavier the treadmill, the more stable it will be. I don't know if you've ever jumped on any of these flimsy treadmills and started jogging or running and they shake violently and you almost have to grab onto the handles. That's because the treadmill is light and not heavy enough. I mean, you want a heavy duty frame. So the heavier, the better. In fact, it's better to go heavier than you think you'll need because you'll just get a much higher quality workout. And obviously, the treadmill will just withstand more wear and tear through the years. The next component is the deck. Now, the deck is the hard surface underneath the tread belt. The lower price machines will have cheaper wood material that can actually break when you run on it in time. So you're going to want to look for decks that are made of solid hardwood that are at least 3/4 of an inch to an inch thick. This will prevent it from breaking and will extend the life of the deck and the treadmill in general. So there you have it. Those are the main components of the treadmill. As you can see, they're very, very simple, and just even getting a basic understanding of these components is pretty straightforward. But by just knowing these few simple things, you're going to be a much smarter shopper, and it will make shopping and comparing treadmills so much easier for you. Now, in part 3 of the Treadmill Buying Guide series, I'll be discussing the extra features and warranties that come with treadmills. But until then, visit besttreadmillsonline.com to get more information on treadmills, including treadmill reviews and recommendations of the best treadmills available online today. This is Travis. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.